Welcome to Pastor to Pastor, a ministry podcast with Pastor Mike Stone of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Blackshear, Georgia. More information is available at PastorMikeStone.com. And now, here's Pastor Mike.
Welcome back. This is Pastor Mike Stone, and I'm so glad you could join us for this episode of Pastor to Pastor. This podcast, as the name suggests, is from my heart as a pastor in a local church where I've served nearly 25 years and as a leader in the Southern Baptist Convention. The episodes I will publish at the end of each week will address some of the challenges and opportunities we face in the Southern Baptist Convention. As many of you know, I am an announced candidate for the presidency of the SBC, and we have our annual meeting this June in Nashville, Tennessee. I missed publishing an episode at the end of last week. We had a very unexpected and untimely death in our church family. One of our young men, a very fine young man who was a local sheriff's deputy, was tragically killed on the job. And so, of course, those pastoral responsibilities and my care for that family came first. But I do look forward to dropping an episode later this week addressing some of the highly publicized departure of churches and leaders from the SBC. So I hope you'll subscribe to this podcast and watch for that episode to drop, most likely on Thursday. But at the first of the week, we share resources to help pastors in the daily and weekly responsibilities of trying to shepherd your church biblically and faithfully. That will include sermon ideas as well as free sermon outlines, which is what I want to do in the episode notes today. As we record, we're facing Palm Sunday, Holy Week, and what most people call Easter Sunday. So I want to address the pastoral challenge of preaching on these special occasion Sundays. And I've taken the liberty of dropping a free sermon outline in today's show notes. It's a message really about the Lord's Supper. I preached it here in my congregation as part of a verse-by-verse study that we took going through 1 Corinthians. But I know with Holy Week approaching, many of our churches have special Lord's Supper services planned, and Pastor, I hope that outline will be a blessing to you, either to preach it in its entirety, maybe a sermon starter, or just to give you an idea of something you'd like to preach. I use that message to compare the Lord's table to a state dinner at the White House, and therefore I gave it the title, A Table Fit for a King. Like many pastors, I have mixed emotions about special occasion sermons, things like 4th of July weekend, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and even Easter and Christmas. In some ways, these are wonderful opportunities to address Bible truths, but in other ways, they can seem like an interruption. I mean, an interruption to a series, or sometimes even just an interruption to what God seemed to be doing in the regular preaching ministry at the church. But in any case, I want to share a few ideas about preaching on these special occasion Sundays. And I want to begin with a few words of counsel to pastors who think that it's biblical error to observe these special occasions. Now, to be clear, I don't share that view, and I'm not trying to argue for or against it here. But I'm just saying if you do embrace that view and think that it's wrong to preach these special occasion messages, you still want to do so with wisdom and pastoral care. First of all, I would advise you, if you have not been at your church very long, maybe a new pastor in a church a couple of years or less, I would urge you to give very serious consideration to the history and expectations of that church family. I've known pastors who had a real aversion to special occasion sermons, and frankly, they spent a lot of pastoral capital in order to not preach a Mother's Day sermon or not preach a Father's Day sermon. If I were in a new church, before I just blow past that special Sunday and not recognize it in some meaningful and significant way, I'd want to do a little research and find out what the history was and if there was a high expectation for observing that day. I mean, Pastor, if you're in a church that has a long history of honoring all the mothers on Mother's Day, maybe with special gifts for the oldest mom and the mom with the most children present in worship, you might consider the congregational fallout of just skipping the Mother's Day emphasis altogether, especially if you're in your first year or two in that church. My counsel would be, I would not die on that hill. For example, I'm not the biggest fan of God and Country Day in the regular Sunday worship services. I know that itself can be a controversial subject, and I'm not upset with anybody that feels differently. But if I went to a church that had a long history of big July 4th celebrations, I would probably at least find a relevant passage and preach a sermon on Christian citizenship. That may not be the best day to just stay in your 10-week series on the 23rd Psalm and not even acknowledge the country's birthday. A wise pastor realizes that the church has a history that predates his arrival. I urge you to accept that history and, if possible, work with that history in mind, even if you desire to lead the congregation in a little different direction over time. Secondly, and again, right now I'm addressing those who do not like to preach special occasion sermons, I'd look for a way to acknowledge the occasion even if it were not the subject of the Sunday sermon itself. I mean, if you're not going to preach a Mother's Day sermon, remember, it only takes a moment or two to express gratitude for the moms that are in attendance that day. Pray a special prayer for them. Maybe as you move to the closing prayer of the service, ask the moms to stand first and let the church express its collective love and appreciation for the ministry they have in the home, the family, and in the church. I do the same thing with the dads on Father's Day and even the veterans on Veterans Day weekend. It only takes a moment to voice a prayer of gratitude for those who protect and defend the country, keeping in mind the Bible says that we should give honor to those to whom honor is due. My major point is that you don't have to spend the entire service or even an entire sermon celebrating a special occasion in order to simply acknowledge the event. And a lot of those recognitions can occur in a time of prayer, which, if you think about it, is a prayer that you are going to offer anyway. Thirdly, I would consider titling a sermon in a way that connects to the special occasion. Again, I don't personally have a problem with observing the special occasion, but even if I did, I'd look for a wise way to acknowledge the event. Maybe you don't want to celebrate Memorial Day in the worship service, but you know you've got some church members that might be upset. Consider how you might title that sermon, and consider preaching a message called, for example, The Price of Freedom. You could begin the message with a reference to Memorial Day, encourage your people to have a good time with their family the following day, which would actually be Memorial Day, and then just preach a biblical sermon on the death of Christ, the ultimate sacrifice for our eternal freedom. By labeling the message The Price of Freedom and mentioning Memorial Day, you could keep your convictions of staying with a biblical text while wisely pastoring your church. Remember that a well-selected title can go a long way to connecting that sermon to the holiday, even if the sermon itself is not about the special day. And for the price of a simple sermon title, a wise pastor can avoid a lot of congregational headache from those church members who would be bothered or even offended by an absolute non-observance. Fourthly, and I cannot overstate this, do not call attention to the fact that you're not observing the special occasion. Now, I don't believe it's wrong to celebrate Father's Day at church, but if you believe that, maybe Father's Day is not the best day to announce it. I would just stay in my normal series and not say anything about it at all before I would needlessly draw attention to the fact that I was not preaching about fatherhood on Father's Day. In my estimation, these declarations often come across as arrogant and insensitive, even if that's not what's inside the pastor's heart. I would contend there's a better occasion, another occasion far removed from the special day, where you can share with your church from a biblical perspective that you question personally the theological propriety of observing certain holidays on the Lord's Day services. I've known pastors who've boldly announced on July 4th weekend that they were not and would not preach about Christian citizenship, and frankly, it generally did not go well. If I held that position, I would just get up and preach without mentioning the event at all. Now, with all of that being said, let me now offer just a few suggestions for those who do plan to observe special occasions, these holidays, and you want to be able to do it more effectively. First, I would encourage you, don't feel the pressure to reinvent the wheel. Now, I will soon celebrate my 25th year on staff at the church here in Southeast Georgia, and 19 of those have been as pastor. Because of the date of my call as pastor and some preaching I did just prior to that, that means I'm about to preach my 19th Easter Sunday message to the same congregation, and my 20th sermon is coming up for Mother's Day, Father's Day, and all of the rest. Pastors with longer tenures in the same pulpit really face and understand this challenge. I mean, there are only so many things you can say about motherhood. There are only so many things you can say about the Proverbs 31 woman or the Psalm 1 man on Father's Day. There's only so much you can talk about the significance of the folded burial cloth in the empty tomb of the Lord. In the past, I felt the pressure to try to say something new or to say it in some fresh new way that no preacher in the history of the church ever thought about taking. Not only is that approach unsustainable, I'm not even sure that it's a biblical approach to the pulpit. Of course, I'm not talking about looking for a unique homiletical hook to present the message in an engaging way. That's all well and good. I'm talking about the actual content. If you think about it, when Easter rolls around, the story of the resurrection of Jesus is what it is, and hey, it's powerful enough to leave it alone. In fact, it's powerful enough to raise spiritually dead people unto life everlasting. Just open up the text and tell the people what it says. On other days, remember the biblical principles of Christian citizenship are what they are. And frankly, when Christmas rolls around, if you need to change very much from what you said last year about the virgin birth of the Lord, maybe it's last year's sermon that ought not be preached again. I'm just reminding you that whatever else you do or don't do on a special Sunday, do what you're called to do every other Lord's Day. Open up the Bible, find a text, exegete the text, preach the text, and apply the text to the congregation for the edification of your hearers and the ultimate glory of Jesus. Now, secondly, if you're in a new church, don't be embarrassed or shy away from repeating a sermon. Now, I'm certainly not advocating ministerial or exegetical laziness or the idea that you ought to change churches every few years just so you don't have to develop new sermons. I'm simply saying that on those special occasions, pulling a sermon out of your own library from a previous pastorate may be exactly what you ought to do. This is especially true on those special days that are family occasions. You may have family in from out of town, or it may be a Sunday where you're coming back from vacation or heading off on vacation. Don't be ashamed to repeat a sermon. And while I'm on the subject of repeating messages, Pastor, we have to face the fact that our people, quite frankly, don't remember our old sermons anyway. For the most part, they remember sermon titles, they remember illustrations, catchy outlines, and jokes that we tell if you use jokes in your messages. So as you prepare a different sermon from a homiletical perspective, don't be afraid or ashamed to repeat the actual content and exegesis of the text from a sermon that you've preached in the past. A third word of advice that I would give is consider swapping pulpits with a pastor friend. I think that's especially helpful for special events that are in the summer or around New Year's Day when many of our people are out of town anyway. Most pastors don't want to be out of their own pulpit on a day like Easter Sunday, but July the 4th weekend or Memorial Day weekend may be the perfect time to swap pulpits with a pastor friend who lives in your general area. This pulpit swapping is especially helpful for volunteer and bivocational pastors who very often have to pay for pulpit supply out of their own pocket. Just make an agreement with a pastor friend that you're going to preach for one another, and you might even repeat a message that you preached at your church on that special day in years past. And if you swap with a friend who lives in a 30 or 45 minute drive, usually travel arrangements won't even be a concern at all. Fourthly, again, don't forget the value of a sermon title in making a special day special. There have been times that I've used a sermon title to connect to a special day when the sermon itself is not really about that subject. So as I wrap up this simple episode, let me illustrate with a few actual sermon titles that I've used in the last few years. Last Mother's Day, in the midst of the COVID-19 shutdown, I preached a Mother's Day sermon that I called "The Best Advice Any Mother Ever Gave." It was drawn from John chapter 2 and the miracle of turning water to wine at the wedding at Cana of Galilee. And of course, you recall what Mary told the servant. She looked at Jesus and said to the workers, "Whatever he tells you to do, do it." I think we would agree that's pretty good advice. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it. So I preached a sermon that really was about obedience to the command of Jesus. And using Mother Mary as one of the characters in the text and the title of the sermon, I made the connection to Mother's Day and just said this is the best advice any mother ever gave. One Father's Day, I preached on the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. My sermon was called "When Daddy Brought Jesus Home." Now, the message was really about the power of Christ, not about fatherhood, and it was Jesus, not Jairus, who was the star of the sermon, as well he should have been. But the sermon title made the connection to Father's Day. On another Father's Day, I preached about personal revival from Genesis chapter 35, where God called Jacob to go back to Bethel. And I just labeled the message, "When Daddy Got Right with God." The message wasn't really about fatherhood, but the title made the connection. One year, I did an entire series in the month of December that I called "Christmas at the Cross." Not only did it provide very evangelistic messages during a season that often brings a lot of guests to the services, I preached from different aspects of the cross, from different gospel and epistles. But I connected the sermons to Christmas with the title of the series, "Spending Christmas at the Cross." And keep in mind that even if you don't like to celebrate God and Country Day, practically any Bible sermon can be labeled a message America needs to hear. Because think about it, if America doesn't need to hear that message, probably your congregation doesn't need to hear the message either. Finally, whatever you're preaching and whatever you title the message, make sure the Lord's Day is ultimately, preeminently, always about the Lord. regardless of the date on the calendar, Jesus Christ is to be the centerpiece of every biblical sermon. Well, that'll wrap it up for this episode, but don't forget, in the show notes, there's a link to a free sermon outline and a podcast related to the Lord's Supper. And again, Pastor, if you can use that during Holy Week or any other time, I pray that it's a blessing to you, your ministry, and to your family. And later this week, I will address the call for unity in the Southern Baptist Convention, and I'll highlight the different responses that our leaders are giving when different people leave the SBC. It's going to be a very direct, but I think a needful conversation, and I hope you'll drop back by to listen in. Until then, this is Pastor Mike Stone asking you to subscribe to this new podcast, share it with a friend, text it out to a buddy, and make plans to join me each week as we sit down and visit Pastor to Pastor.